The market analysis segment is coming your way in seconds. I'm John Torpy, producer for Market to Market. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
This is the Friday, November 19, 2021 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The individual wheat contracts have minds of their own as Kansas City took the lead this week, reflecting drier conditions for the week. The nearby wheat contract added 6 cents, while the December corn contract shed 7 cents. The bulls came in midweek on export news but lacked fresh information to keep running much higher. The January contract improved 19 cents. December meal added 970. December cotton expanded $1.53 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, December Class 3 milk futures strengthened 73 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector. December cattle improved $1.40. January feeders expanded $3.20. And the December lean hog contract shed $2.13. In the currency markets, U.S. dollar index improved 91 ticks. December crude oil decreased $4.80 per barrel. COMEX gold dropped $16.50 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index fell almost 14 points to finish at $567.50. Now here to provide insight is market analyst Elaine Cubb. Hey, Elaine.
Hello, Paul.
You know, there's this little thing about inputs that has been dominating the discussion. We think a lot of it when it comes to corn, but you're going to tell me here in a moment that it has a little more to do with another crop, and that's what we usually lead off with in wheat. Why?
Well, I don't know about more. I mean, here in the United States, it is a problem, right? We have a new record high anhydrous price. Retailers are at, you know, $1,100 a ton, right? And urea was at $832 a ton. So I'm not suggesting that the United States fertilizer situation is not concerning, but it's maybe solvable by next spring. If you think of the reasons why we have shortages here, there was hurricane damage at the fertilizer plants along the Gulf. That's solvable. Those will probably come online. But over in Europe and the Black Sea region, where there's a lot of wheat production, that fertilizer problem is much more persistent. It's because the fertilizer plants have shut down because natural gas prices are just so high. So these very high natural gas prices, that's something that is, I don't know, solvable by Vladimir Putin. But, you know, how much do you want to risk on that? So the concern for wheat, and I think that this is largely the reason why we saw wheat prices go up, even in the Kansas City contract, following the European wheat futures contract, which hit a new record high this week. Those concerns are that the winter wheat crop in that portion of the world has gotten off to a poor start. Not only is it dry, but also this concern about the fertilizer, how much fertilizer is going to be put on that? What kind of yield drag are we going to see in 2022 because of this influence?
All right, so 823 is how we finish this week. Does this thing have another leg higher, or are we right at the top?
I don't know that we're at the top forever, but I think it's possible for the next couple of months we might not see a new push to a new high, simply because globally speaking, Australia is harvesting a more or less bumper crop. So these pens that are coming out to the market, especially for the Asian countries coming to the world market to buy wheat, they will be able to find new supplies coming out of Australia for the next couple of months or so. But once we get past the Northern Hemisphere's dormant period for winter wheat and we start looking into spring problems again, I think there could be continued bullishness in wheat even into 2022.
It seemed at the end of each day, the commentary about the corn market was that it either followed wheat or it followed soybeans. Why was it not following its own instinct and moving it independently?
No, there's really not a lot going on with corn right now. And you're absolutely right. It's these outside markets that are the exciting ones this week. It's the European wheat contract. It's Malaysian palm oil driving up edible oil prices and soybean prices. So corn doesn't have a whole lot going on for itself. You know, harvest is just about done. You know, we probably put in our harvest low. What else do you want to say about corn? I mean, what can we even say?
That is true. What more can you say other than we look like we've leveled off and hit into a little bit of a range? Do you agree?
I absolutely agree with range-based trading for corn for the foreseeable future.
Yep. How long does that future last? End of the year?
Well, yeah. I mean, there is certainly an argument to be made that if the funds go through and rebalance their commodity positions because they have grown long in commodities to get this exposure to inflation hedges, it's possible that you get towards the end of the year and they may have to sell off some of that commodity exposure just to rebalance their portfolios.
Okay. The soybean market, you mentioned a couple of the outliers that impacted. Meal was a part of it towards the end of last week, beginning of this week. But meal is that the only story in soybeans? Or you mentioned the harvest in Australia for wheat. There's about to be a harvest come online in South America. Help me out.
Yeah. South American weather is always going to be important this time of year, but right now it's not problematic. They've been seeing showers, you know, every 5 to 7 days, and that's continued to be called for in the forecast. So no big problems, no big bullish problems from South American weather to draw a story from. In soybeans, I think it's more that Malaysian palm oil that I talked about. Now, you mentioned soybean meal, and that is the biggest part of the soybean crush. But lately, you could take a $12.60 bushel of soybeans and turn that into $8.70 worth of soybean meal and $7.65 worth of oil. So the meal is still the driver. That's still the biggest part of the crush, as it always is. But 46% of that crush is coming from the edible oil, the soybean oil. That is very unusual. And that's almost certainly driven by the correlation between edible oils of all kinds, particularly that Malaysian palm oil that I mentioned, is at a fresh record high just today, actually. And at 59 cents a pound, that is, you know, equivalent to what the soybean oil price we're seeing here in the United States.
Okay, more grains in Market Plus coming here as we look at the March contract. I want to move to cattle on feed report. I'm going to read real quick. Cattle and calves on feed was slightly below 2020. Placements 2% above, and marketings were 5% below. What else am I missing in that cattle on feed report?
Yeah, the cattle on feed report was slightly above the expectations. So that would be considered to be a bearish situation, but it's not big enough to be a problem, and it's lower than it was a year ago. So we should be fairly confident that the bullishness we've seen in the cash cattle market this week, we saw prices go up another dollar on a live basis in the South at 133, and that's a follow-on from last week. These are good and probably sustainable prices.
All right. So the feeder market, which we're talking about here right now, the futures closed over the 50-day moving average at one point this week. Can we continue to hug that line? Are we headed above or below that 50-day, maybe 100-day moving average?
It's hard to say because of the historical price range here. You know, you look at feeders for April feeders at 165, that's generally a good selling opportunity. But if you're looking in the near term, actually at the sale barns this month, we've seen the big fall runs come in and demand is considered very good, right? The feedlots want to get their hands on feeder cattle, especially the higher quality ones that they know that they could turn into prime beef. We've seen not enough prime beef come on the market in the past couple of weeks, especially right now when the packers are trying to get animals into the chain to make holiday, you know, feasts coming up for Christmas.
Well, cattle did gap higher Thursday, their highest since September 3rd. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, we have, you know, there's been a lot of volume of trading in this last couple of sessions this week. There was a huge volume of futures trading, unusually high. And it's very possible in these markets, which are relatively small, relatively illiquid, that you can get gaps like that. You can get big days. But fortunately, they are backed up by bullish moves in the cash markets as well.
Is there any way that a new plan announced west of St. Louis had any bullish news for cattle? Or is that just too small of a story?
I think, yeah, I mean, the cattle markets, anything with price transparency, the moves in the market to share that knowledge has been helpful. And I think that's been a big reason why we have seen success in the cash cattle market this week.
And one last thing on beef, sorry to stick with this. Brazil, they're having, the NCBA has called for a ban on Brazil fresh beef. Any impact here too on that?
I mean, it would be contentious. It would cause ripples through the industry. But I don't think that it's a threat necessarily when you've got the fundamental strength of the consumers want to go to the grocery store. They're not fazed by these prices. China's not even fazed by the prices. Export sales to China this week were humongous. If it continued at this pace, China would be a bigger purchaser of U.S. beef than South Korea next year. So nobody's fazed by these prices. It's a profitable industry to be in, and I don't think that little things like to be enough to knock it off of its course.
And here I went and asked all these 12 beef questions, and I left such a tiny little time about hogs. Real quick, we'll talk about it at Market Plus, but give me the quick 10-second story.
Not as much bullishness as beef, I'm afraid. The export story was kind of poor this week. And so I think we're just going to head towards the doldrums.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate the time there trying to fill us in on that market. And we will continue that discussion and answer more of your questions in Market Plus. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. That'll do it for this installment. We'll have Market Plus in just a moment. You can join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. And we are always looking to include more of you in all of our offerings, including audio on the go. We have three podcasts that fit the bill: the Market Analysis, which you just heard, the Market Plus, recorded after the TV show, and the MTOM, conversations and behind-the-scenes information from the production of this program. Follow all three where you get your podcasts. Next week, we look at bringing a discussion about the state of the world economics to our holiday table. Thank you so much for watching, and have a great week.